the new covenant that we have today and the freedom that we have in Christ. It's obviously the promise that he's given Abraham, and it's still today, believe and you will shall receive. It's not a thing about striving and doing a lot of things, it's only about believing and you shall receive. And for 2011, in my sermon this morning, I think everybody's got New Year's resolutions about losing weight and getting more money and all these nice things. And I was reading a book the other day, and obviously for my year I've got to study again a bit and whatnot, and I'm setting goals, and the guy writes in his book and he talks about obviously some godly goals that you've got to set, and I've never really read in the Word of God about New Year's resolutions and goals you've got to set. But before we jump into the first scripture, I think, where's the title of my sermon? It's up there, okay. A Different Approach. It is an interesting title, but I think a good example is just, I don't know if you like Wimbledon and tennis and all that, and Australian Open is, I think, the final for the men is today. But I saw this week, and obviously everybody's talking about Federer and Nadal and the big battle this year, and both got out before the final. And it was a shocker, and everybody was like, how did it happen? And I saw the game between Djokovic and Federer, and it was amazing. I mean, Federer was wiped off the court in three sets. I mean, and this guy is unbeatable. So obviously something had to happen. I mean, he's got 17 titles behind his belt. He's not been able to be defeated almost, I want to say, but Djokovic came to the party that day and he just wiped him off the court. So I just felt, and I looked this week and I said, obviously if you're going to set goals this year and you feel like, because somebody from our church told me over there, you know, the devil stole last year, but this year he's claiming back. And obviously if that is true in your life, and last year wasn't the year that you wanted it to be, but this year is different, you're setting goals, something, you're going to have to do something different. That's just the obvious thing in the natural, like I said, if it's tennis or whatever, Djokovic had to do something different. I mean, he just didn't show up today and say, well, today I feel like I'm going to win him. Obviously, he prepared for a long while to make something different, and that's why, I just want to say, hold on, we're getting there. So if you don't understand, you're not with me yet, we're going to get there, hopefully, but just to, like I said, a different approach maybe this year, and it doesn't mean you're going to have to do more or whatever, but maybe just looking a bit different on it. We can jump into the first scripture. It's 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 7. All right. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, which is moral excellence, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, which is a love for Christians, and to brotherly kindness love. And another translation says a love for everyone. Because it starts off by saying we will have a love for Christians, and then it ends off by saying having love, which means a love for everyone, not only a love for the persons that are sitting in a church. Now I thought, and the guy said, now we're back to setting godly goals. And if you want to think about it this year, wouldn't it be amazing if we could say, I'm going to add these steps to my life, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, meaning that the end result is, as the end of this, say a love for everyone. If you follow these things in your life, if you apply it, you say, this year I want to apply this in my life, instead of making more money or what, we trust all that will follow, but this is what we want to do this year. Lord, I'm committing myself to saying, I want to get to that end point where it says, I truly have a love for everyone, because we know that's difficult. I'm not standing here saying I've got it right. Then we go to verse 8 in that chapter, 2 Peter. It says, for if these things, now obviously if referring to these things, we're referring to faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control. If these things are yours and abound, meaning these things are applied constantly in your life, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I just want you to focus on the word knowledge there, because obviously it's saying if these things are applied in your life, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's just interesting. Ach, thank you, man. See, I brought Martha especially for that from Ventuk. Thank you, man. Which is funny, because when I was reading a scripture, obviously I started in the last part, but now we're going to the first part of the scripture again, 2 Peter 1, verse 2 and 4, which precedes what I've just said. And it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. I'll just stop there first. If we go back to the previous one, it says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren and unfruitful in what? The knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. And there it says, in the first part of the scripture, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if you remember last time I was preaching about the old covenant of Abraham being still the New Testament fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And it says here again, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's not, you've got to receive it. And he says, if you commit your life to Jesus Christ, you've got it. It is done. It is yours, as I was, I think, hammering on last time. But that's the point. It says here, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, I mean, I would probably be lying if I said, I've put up my hand this morning and saying, who of you, like me, am experiencing this every day? You know, when you if you go to work every day, how many of you have a sense and a real, true conviction of, I have received all things that pertain to life and godliness and experienced it? And obviously not every one of us has that experience, but hold on, we're getting there. Why and why, where to from here? But it says there next, the word, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the thing is, I'm not so focusing on what the scripture exactly today, but it's just I want you to get excited about how the word of God can just speak to you. And this was so amazing for me. It speaks about all these things. The next scripture, if you can just go on to the next slide, it says, so obviously we're focusing on 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 7. It says, if you've got faith, virtue, knowledge, and self-control, and ends up with love. If you have these things, what will it be? It will be, you will be productive and useful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now importantly, why do you need to be productive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because we have received all things that pertain to life and godliness. But the word goes on, it says, through the knowledge of him. So I'm hoping you're getting what I'm saying this morning. It's about the knowledge of Jesus Christ that you have that. Because many times in the word, we read something and you say, the Lord has given us life and life in abundance. And you're like, Lord, and you're angry, but I don't receive it. But obviously, you can't just take one scripture and say, but this is it, you know. The word of God goes on, exactly as it says here. We have received all things that pertain to life and godliness, but through the knowledge of him. So obviously, if you make a simple analysis, if you don't have the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life, this will not be true for you, because it says, through the knowledge of him, we have received all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it says then, and I just wanted to, yeah, at one part it says, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Now obviously we are spiritual beings, everyone. Like I said, if you've made that decision to commit your life to Jesus Christ, you are a spiritual being. But I think last time as well, we said to each other, it's difficult because we're not experiencing it every day. But that's what I want to preach about today. I want to just want to really sow a word of faith in the fact that we are spiritual beings. And even though we're not getting it right every day, this is true in our lives. And I hopefully get towards the point in the end of the sermon where we're walking out there with hope and realization that that is true in every one of our lives. But now I said the next slide, the other side of the coin, 2 Peter 1 verse 9. Now just after that part it says where you will not be unfruitful or barren in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next verse Peter says, for you lack these things, obviously faith, virtue, knowledge. If you lack these things, you're short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Now it's interesting for me when I thought about this, he says, you know, all these positive things and these amazing things, how you'll be fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he says, and he almost makes a warning, if you lack these things, if you're not exercising these things, your goals for this year, if you're not exercising faith in your life, if you're not having self-control, perseverance, and you don't have the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life, you will be even, it says, short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Now what was blessed for me about that, well, blessed, but just a shocker almost, I was like, so it means if you are not applying these things in your life, you're putting yourself back in the law. Because if you constantly, it says you forgot that you were cleansed from your old sins. Meaning you waking up every day saying, you know, Lord, you remember about 2 weeks ago, and the Lord is like, I've forgotten about it. But the scripture says you don't realize that in your life. You're constantly at a place where you're feeling condemned because you're not forgetting about your old sins. You're constantly at a place where the devil is reminding you of your old sins. And I think that is what I preached on a lot of last time, about coming to this place of realizing that Jesus has forgiven us. You come to this place where you just repent one time. You don't repent four times. So I would just really hope this morning when we come to this place of realizing that, yes, it does say you're even to a place of blindness, but obviously focus on the first part of the scripture says what blessings there are in the fact that you start realizing who Jesus Christ is. Now I think the next slide I said New Year's resolution. There it is as well. Sorry, I've got two different, my slides and your slides. But it says now in, it's in Galatians, it says the acts of the flesh are obvious. So let me just, oh, I've got to go one, oh, I missed one there. Go one back? Yeah, there we go. Sorry, we skipped one. It talks about the fleshly person and the spiritual person. And I was reading a book about the guy, and he explains the difference, because we obviously you get natural people before you are saved. But then you get Christians who are walking in, are spiritually saved, and their spirits are alive, but they don't have the experience of overcoming and victory in Jesus Christ. Because the spiritual man is the one who walks and is really walking in the truth of God's word. But obviously you can be a Christian and yet not experience anything. You can be at that place where you don't have life and life in abundance. You don't really have experience. When I'm saying to you that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, you're like, yes, that's nice, but I don't experience it at all. And unfortunately, the Bible talks about a fleshly person, because in Galatians 5, 16 to 18, it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So it's amazing. God's word gives us that encouragement. The fact is, Romans 8 just comes to mind now. The first part, it says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I mean, obviously everybody in church will say, have you been condemned? Yes, everybody's been condemned while you were saved yet. But it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not under the law anymore. You are under grace. Now let's go to the next slide. It talks about the spiritual man and there's the fleshly man. Verse 19 in Galatians says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is talking about the fleshly man, because obviously people in the world are sinning constantly, but it talks about the difference between the flesh and those who are walking according to the Spirit. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I love this part. It says, and against such there is no law. Well, the Bible tells us we can be under the law, but if you're practicing these things in your life, it's not about walking under the law and what you're doing every day. The Bible says if you're practicing these things in your life, if these are the fruits that are in your life, there's no law against that. You are free from the law and you're walking free from it. I think that's again the scripture I said, Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that's full stop. It doesn't go on. It's just there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But now again, like I said, hopefully I send you away here today with a bit of encouragement and hope about how do we get to this point of really experiencing that in our lives. And something that's been very true for me is that I've started learning, and me and my friend Gustav have been talking a lot about it this year, because obviously there needs to change something in our lives. That's the topic of my sermon. Something needs to happen. Something needs to be done different. I mean, I've been saved, and yes, but why am I not experiencing it? Why is it not different? And the one scripture that came to mind was Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Other translations say by hearing the gospel. When people preach the gospel, that is when faith comes into your life. Because I think that is the key and the difference between experiencing this Christian walk or not, if you apply it. Because many people, unsaved people, read the Bible, and obviously it has no effect on them. And the difference is because there's a spirit behind it. And we need to start getting to that place where the word of God comes alive to us when we do read it. And it's not only something, a book that we're reading, but it's really part of our lives and everyday an experience in our lives. I just want to quickly get one book. Sorry. Now, as I was saying, me and my friend were talking a lot about experiencing this thing and why we're not experiencing it. And the thing is, the guy says, you've got to hear, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And as I said, other translations say, it says, faith comes by hearing the gospel. Now, the gospel is basically just good news. And the good news is Jesus Christ. So the more people, I mean, obviously, let's be realistic. If you are in a place and situation in your life where people are just degrading you, talking negative about you, not giving you hope, that is probably what's going to be real in your life. If unless you've got a really strong system around you at another place. But what I'm saying is the word even says to us, faith comes by hearing. You've got to hear the word of God constantly in your life. It's got to be reality in your life. And hearing is about Jesus Christ, because that's what it's about. There's a lot of things that we can preach, and there's a lot of things that I can say this morning, but it's about what is true in Jesus Christ. It's good news. And if you want to come to this place where this year is going to be different, you've got to hear more good news in your life. And this is not only from people around you. That's why I was blessed with this book from the start of the year, Victory Over Darkness. It sounds very spiritual, but it was so amazing. You know, you think this guy's going to talk about fasting for 10 days and all that. But he just gives a basic list. And he says, this is one of the most important things in your life you've got to do. And I'm not, again, I want to stop here and say, I'm not here this morning to say, do A, B, and C, and your life is going to be different. I want to inspire you that the Word of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, is what's going to change you this year. It's not about focusing on a lot of other things, and it's going to be different for everyone. Because, I mean, the Word of God says, fast. I mean, I'm not going to tell you start fasting, but some people have fasted for 40 days. Some people fast from TV or whatever. Some people spend more time in prayer. But that's going to be a relationship between you and God and what He's inspiring in your heart. But obviously, like I say, if you haven't got the basis, and this guy says, it's so amazing, he's got a list here that I started reading. It says, since I am in Christ, I have been justified, completely forgiven, and made righteous. Now that's good news. Obviously, if you want to hear good news, start reading this in your life. I will maybe, if you want, there's a like list about 20 or 28 things that he just says, since I'm in Christ, I've died of Christ and died to the power of sin's rule over my life. Now imagine if you're struggling with sin and you can walk out every day just quoting that scripture, saying to yourself, you know, I've died to the power of sin. Yes, I'm struggling. Yes, the reality is that this thing is in my face and I can't face it. But it says in the Word of God that I've died to sin and sin's power over my life. And that is good news. And that's what I want to encourage you guys for this morning, how you speak to each other, but also in your own personal life, when you're applying the Word in your life. That is the reality of saying, Lord, I'm going to take hold of this. I'm really going to trust you, Lord, that this is going to become reality in my life. Now, if we go to John 7, verse 38, this is almost, I want to say, the overflow, because it's what the Scripture says. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, I think that's the amazing thing. And he was talking about the Spirit. I think the last part I forgot. Yeah, by this he meant the Spirit. And that's the amazing thing, you know. The Holy Spirit has been given to us, and that overflow is a reality for every one of us who wants to come and seek God. And he says, but again he says, he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow streams of living water. And John 8, verse 31, he says, if you abide in my word, not only if you read my word and if you apply it now and then, he says, if you abide in my word, and I'm not going to go into that. A lot of people probably have preached about abiding in God and his word. But he says, the reality is, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the awesome part of the truth is who? It's Jesus Christ. Again, that's why I want to come back to the beginning part and say, if you've got the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because obviously, I mean, I don't want to come here and be all high and mighty and holy and saying that I am applying faith and patience and goodness, I forgot a few of them. But anyway, all those things. I'm not saying I'm applying all those things in my life. But what I am saying is the key about applying those things in your life is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's so amazing. It says if you want to apply those things in your life, you're going to get a bigger revelation, a bigger knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when you get to that place, life and life in abundance and all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I really trust this year for you as a church, especially that will become true. I don't want to read one more scripture about that. I almost want to say the good news. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to encourage you, even if you forget all things that I've said, if you just wake up tomorrow morning and face the day with the knowledge that I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people would say you're proud of saying that, and it's a big statement. But the fact is, God says it in his word. If you are saved, you are the righteousness of God. You're standing before God not as a sinful being. You're standing as the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. If you're occupying that space, and I love it, this guy says he wakes up in his quiet times in the morning, and all that he does is, and I know if you've read the book of Joseph Prince, he says that's how he wakes up in the mornings. And it's not about saying a lot of things. He says, Lord, I thank you that I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And I mean, I think if I can leave here with this, just with that would be so awesome again. Just the realization, because in my own life, I mean, as he said, I'm a lawyer, and probably some of you always understand, why am I standing here? Why is a lawyer allowed to preach? But that's the point, you know. It's the righteousness of God. And it's so amazing, you know, sitting there in the office, and there is daily just chaos in the office. It's just being a lawyer is probably that. And it's amazing when you can just, like the other guy just told me, just take a 1 minute, you know, and sit back, you know, and when that thing is facing you again, just go, I am still the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And it was so amazing standing this morning. I mean, it was beautiful looking at the baby dedication, but I'm always like, Lord, I don't want to leave this place because I know what's waiting at the office on Monday morning. But I don't know. It's just so amazing the fact that we know when we come to that place where Jesus told us, I will never leave you or forsake you. So why must it be any different when we walk into that office? Why must it be different when we walk into town tomorrow? And the reality is it shouldn't be, because Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he even said to his disciples, I am sending my spirit. I'm sending my helper. And he says, streams of living water will flow into that place, you know, in a place where you are in the spirit. And that should be the reality for every one of us. And I'm trusting, like I said, the pastor is going to preach less and the worship team is going to become more. So when the worship team comes to that place, it's not only going to be an event on Sunday. When you walk out, you're just really anointed and really experiencing that place of God. And it's just overflow. And I just really, that's the heart for me. And I don't want to talk too much this morning, because I hope you're going to pray a lot. And just really, yeah, if there are people in this place that don't experience what I've been saying now, I really trust that there are other people in this church that I've seen are really experiencing that. And it's not up to me, but I really trust that we are a body this morning and that God wants to set people free for other people in this church who are already experiencing that streams of living water. Because it's not only out of me, the guy standing in front. He says that streams of living water will flow out of you if you are in the Spirit. So, and I know, and I've seen the faces and these people worshiping, these people in front, they just want to pray this morning. So I'm not going to talk too much longer. But Paul says a prayer in Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 19. And I can encourage you to pray this for your congregation. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now that's amazing. When Paul says, you know, you can pray for a lot of things, and he's away from his congregation, and he gives them a letter, and he says, this is what I pray for you, that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. And that's just so amazing for me. I mean, Paul can say a lot of things, but he's just saying, you know, I just hope that your eyes go open to see who you really are in Christ. Because there's an amazing gift for you guys in Christ. There's an amazing hope for you guys. And yes, you're struggling with this thing, but I'm not going to pray for this even. I'm going to just trust that you see who God is. Because the amazing part is, I think that's how Paul, that's how he got saved. I mean, he saw Jesus. There was nothing else. He was walking in Damascus and he saw Jesus and his life was instantly changed. And I think that's also, I just thought about that now, but I mean, that heart is still being carried over. He's saying that if you understand who Jesus is, if you understand who God is, if you've got this spirit in you, the rest is fine. That's what it's all about. And Risha was saying earlier that DVD is being showed tonight about furious love. And the one scripture just came out to me while we were worshiping is where God says in his word that perfect love casts out all fear. And I just really want to encourage you guys, if you have the time tonight, to come and watch it, because, that also changed my life, that DVD. And the amazing part is, we look at it, I always also give too much away, like she said, but I just want to encourage you this year, you know, it's not the anger and the what and the what. And as I saw that DVD, I could just see what love does if you really just step out in faith. It's the small thing that you do that makes the difference. And it was amazing. And that DVD is something of an encouragement for you guys. And I hope really that you get the opportunity to come and watch it tonight, because it was just amazing. As I said this morning, just standing here in the front, seeing the baby dedication, it was all about love. And it says that love, that is the strongest tool in this world, because you cannot deny it. People can say what they want. They can do what they want. But if you've experienced God's love, it penetrates through everything. And that's what it's about. It's about experiencing Jesus Christ. And I almost can say the band can come up, or one or two of you, and maybe just the guitar, that'll be great, Ivan. But I want to I'm almost do it a bit different this morning in the end, because I really feel that we were talking a lot last night, and like I said, I'm standing as a hypocrite in the sense here in the front, because yes, the reason why I preach about this is because I also don't experience it in my life every day. I don't experience that victory every day, but the reason why I'm standing here and preaching it, because that is what I feel God has laid on your heart. And I really want to say this morning that I feel it's not about me, but about this congregation and this body. Because tomorrow I'm back in Windhoek, but you guys are going on together for this year. And I really want to trust you now. And I just want to, maybe we can just close our eyes. I just want to ask you, if you are at this place now, and you really feel that you've got a burning desire, and you have got this spirit and this life-giving water in you. And as I now start calling people up, I want those people to come and pray for them. And I really trust that this body, this overflowing spirit that is in these people will start just release it unto other people, because we really trust God. And he says that if you know the truth will set you free. And I really want to encourage people this morning, if this is not your experience, that's fine. Because God is in this place and his spirit's in this place. And if you've experienced it this morning in the start of the worship, and I really want to encourage you, as you feel this morning, just one by one, just come to the front And just start spending time with God. It's not about responding to this or what. It's about responding to the fact that God is tugging on your heart. And you're not experiencing this, but it's fine. I just really want to encourage you. And we're going to just spend some time in worship. If Ivan just can keep playing for us. And just start dealing with God. Even if you want to sit there in your chair. I just really want to trust God this morning. But that would be true. All right. I can just pray for us as we go. Father God, I just want to thank you this morning, Lord, that you are faithful, Lord. And that you are speaking to everyone and every single heart this morning, Lord. I just want to worship you, Holy Spirit, that you are present here. And we just want to open up our hearts and say that, you know, we welcome you into our lives. Come and minister to us this morning. You are the helper. Lord, thank you, God, that we are not able on our own strength, Lord, but you are able, Lord. And we thank you this morning that you're speaking to those hard, hard places in people's hearts, Lord. I just really feel you showing me a picture of a girl's heart, Lord, that has turned into stone almost, Lord, Father God. And the words don't really almost fall against that stone, Father God. But I want to thank you this morning, Father God, that you're making hard, hard hearts soft, Lord, Father God. I want to thank you for your anointing, says, that breaks the yoke, Lord, Father God. Thank you for your love, Father God. Thank you that we are rooted and grounded in your love, Father God, and your perfect love. Cast out fear, Lord, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.